Hare Krishna. So, we'd like to begin this Srimadav Mahotsava by reading the verse which is considered the seed or the essence of what Śrīla Jīva Gosvāmī is offering us in this beautiful verse poem. He says, "All glories to the splendid rays emanating from the beautiful body of Sri Krishna. As rain clouds increase the pleasure of peacocks, Krishna's glorious effulgence, adorned with streams of water from Radha's Abhishek, bestowed the greatest ecstasy to the eyes of Radha's Sakis." Now, Śrī Jīva Gosvāmī will offer all of his obeisances to those who have given him the inspiration or the direction and instruction to write this. So he offers first his obeisances to Lord Chaitanya, who spread and prays that he may spread the rays of mercy in his heart. Then he offers obeisances to Sri Krishna, Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami. And then he offers obeisances also to the order or the instruction that he has been given and prays. He says, "O order of my master, I am humbly making this request of you. Please utilize all poetic ingredients and manifest this new poetic work revealing the great festival of Sri Radha's magnificent bathing ceremony." And he seeks the blessings of his father to protect him, Raghunath Das Goswami to give him shelter, and then he says, finally, "a great wealth of courage to fulfill the order of Sri Rupa Goswami has made this insignificant creature begin this poetic work with excessive boldness. By the mercy of Sri Rupa Goswami, may the great devotees experienced in Bhakti Ras derive satisfaction from this work." So after offering his obeisances, he begins this story. And he describes, first of all, how one particular day, Srimati Radharani went with her friends, the unlimited gopi friends, to a mango grove. And it was very beautiful. The whole atmosphere was very sweet. And Srimati Radharani herself is so beautiful that she's beautiful without any ornaments. In fact, she makes her ornaments appear attractive. So there were so many gopis, but one group of gopis, very devoted to her, were sitting around Srimati Radharani, and a conversation took place. Srimati Radharani was looking at a beautiful mango tree just nearby that was entwined by a creeper, a Madhavi creeper. And she looked with her eyes to Salita Devi and she said, "You see, this beautiful creeper is so beautiful that it is bringing pleasure to Madhava," or springtime. "I think in a similar way, you should bring pleasure to Krishna." And then she thought, and she said, "I would arrange for the marriage of this vine with this tree." She said, "Look at the creeper. Look how it's reaching forward with its tendrils in every direction. And it's calling for Krishna by the sound of the cuckoo." So Vishakhadevi was looking at Srimati Radharani as she was speaking like this, and she studied her mood. And then she responded by saying to her, understanding what she was thinking, she said, "You must be very determined. Who can joke with you at this place? Better that we gather flowers for making ornaments for your beloved." So the gopis all began to gather flowers and brought them to Srimati Radharani. And some of the girls made a beautiful bed out of flowers for her to sit upon. And she began to string a garland for Krishna. And as Srimati Radharani would pick up the flower with her right hand, as it touched her beautiful reddish palms, the flowers would appear to become reddish. And she was stringing them with her left hand onto a needle. And when she picked them up and they touched her beautiful nails, they would appear to become like crystal white. So she was stringing this garland, and as she was stringing the garland, her friends made everything very comfortable for her. Then, as she was completing her garland, the gopis began to talk amongst themselves. They were wondering, will we meet Shyam today? And will he satisfy our dear friend Radha? They were thinking amongst themselves in this way. And all of them were desiring to meet Krishna immediately. When Srimati Radharani began to hear about Krishna, then her heart became overwhelmed with all the ecstatic symptoms of prema bhakti, and she became inert, sitting like a statue. Then she began to cry, and all different symptoms of love appeared on her body. And even though she was surrounded by all of her friends, she suddenly felt as if she was completely alone in the whole universe. So her friends very expertly began to speak, and in this way they brought her out of this mood. Then she began to lament and express her feelings, and she said to her gopi friends, "You in Vraj are the only people, only girls who are unfortunate, because you cannot meet Krishna." This was a symptom of her intense loving mood. She said, "You are unfortunate because you have the association of somebody as unfortunate as me. Everybody else is meeting with Krishna, but here we are, and he has not even cast one glance upon us. So we are so unfortunate, so unhappy." So she was lamenting, and she said even that it would be all right if we were so unhappy, but why does the flute have to play so melodiously and remind us that we are not getting the association that we're seeking with Krishna? Why can't the flute be satisfied to play silently so that it does not burn our hearts in this way? So as she was speaking in this way, expressing her deep separation from Madhava, Nandamukhi arrived. Now, Nandamukhi comes from Nandagram. She's the granddaughter of Purnamasi. Purnamasi, Yogamaya, is like the guru in Vrindavan. She arranges everything for Radha and Krishna's pleasure. So Nandamukhi came, and she heard Radharani's very deep mood of sadness. So the gopis greeted Nandamukhi very happily and offered her a seat. And Radha asked her one question, "Where is Krishna now?" So Nandi said that, "I saw Krishna actually when I was on my way to Nandagram. I was going to Gokul to see Mother Yasoda, Yasoda Devi, and this is what she is lamenting. She stands still, her eyes searching the distance for a glimmer of a glimpse of Krishna. Rivers of milk and tears flow from her breasts and eyes. O Sakis, looking at me with anguished eyes, Yasoda asked, 'O Nandi, I am so unhappy. Have you searched in the forest? Have you seen my child? Nourished by my milk, Krishna plays in the forest, but now he must be hungry. Why doesn't he come home? What, did he eat? Did you send him sweet foods? Did he eat them? Has he got the protective herbs and powders that I tied on his arms? And is he looking in this direction towards coming home? Or is he still playing? And are the best of wrestlers carefully protecting him?'" So Nandi, telling this to Radha, she said, "I consoled her very calmly and sweetly. And she was also expressing her love for you. And she said, 'I know that Radha is now married. She is a married girl. But somehow or another, I always think of her as my daughter-in-law. I always, always want to see her. I want to see her with my son.'" She was thinking very fondly of Radha. So then, Purnamasi goes on and says, Nandi goes on and says, "I've brought so many other greetings for you. Rohini Devi is asking how you are. All the ladies in Nandagram are thinking of you. And Purnamasi, she is especially thinking of you and expresses her heartfelt love for you." So she tells her all the sweet words from Purnamasi. And then she says that, I have taken this message, Purnamasi told me to bring this message of hers to you. So I took this message from her and I've come here to see you. She said, and on the way, as I was walking along, I saw there was one forest. And in that place, I saw something most astonishing. She saw Krishna. She said, I suddenly saw the most astonishing thing. There was an indescribable, dark luminescence, a deep darkness, as if this part of the forest was surrounded by a swarm of bees. There was a konika tree blossoming with flowers, looking like thousand-eyed Indra. And when I saw the tree, it seemed to be crying in joy at having attained the desired object of its life. I was awestruck by this scene, and then my eyes fell upon the most astonishingly beautiful form in that area spread with flower pollen. I saw Krishna. So she begins to describe the beauty of Krishna and how he is standing there. And he is also in great anguish to see Srimati Radharani, so much so that his flute has fallen from his hand and his peacock feather is falling from his head. So she describes all of this to Srimati Radharani and assures her that Krishna is missing her also. Then, after describing Krishna's beauty to Radha, she tells her that he has a great desire to see you. He asked where you were, but I didn't tell him. He begged me, please take a message to her. Tell her to please come to Vrindavan and let us meet. So saying this, he went and leant on another tree, and I said, because he became so lost in thought, I said, Radhe, Radhe. And he opened his eyes and told me, quickly go to Radhika and reveal the pain in my heart to satisfy her and satisfy me by offering the garland that I give you now to her beautiful form. So Nandi continues and says, with this order I came here. And all the gopis now are all crying, thinking of Krishna in this way. Then Nandi spoke something very special. She told Srimati Radharani of a blessing that Purnamasi had made for her. She told, this is the message she was asked to bring, that Purnamasi said that a festival will take place that will reveal the sweetness of Radha, and it will be undertaken by Krishna and his friends. So hearing this, Lalita Devi gets very excited and says, I also had a dream like this. I saw many goddesses came and they were worshipping you. I saw you sitting in a jeweled courtyard with Krishna and I can still see it. So Nandi continues on and she says, yes, this has been predicted also by Narada, who said that he will see Srimati Radharani enthroned with a grand abhishek in Krishna's forest. But Radha wasn't very satisfied by all of this. She was wondering if this would really make her happy. So then the gopis, realizing her mood, immediately started to make an arrangement for her to meet with Krishna. And they dropped a little hint to Nandi by telling her that Radha's not going anywhere today. She's just going to meet Malati in this Madhavi grove over here. So don't disturb. So immediately Nandi took this message and went to tell Madhava. Now, the gopis, together they went to this beautiful place. And there they were all waiting. Realizing a hint of the news about the ocean of concentrated nectar known as Govinda, and becoming weak in determination, Radha and the gopis could not maintain their composure. After hearing the news from Nandimukhi, they became extremely anxious for Krishna's association. So they entered into this part of the forest of Vrindavan, and there they began to talk about this idea of this abhishek with great excitement. Meanwhile, Radha came nearby and she heard what they were saying. And she was thinking of her meeting with Krishna because She had been waiting now, she felt, for a long time, and in her loving sentiment, her garland was already wilted and gone, and everything. It had been like a yugyayatam namishena. It had been like yugas she had not seen Krishna. And so while she was standing there, thinking of him, and wondering if he had come, she noticed something. She saw that the flowers in the forest, where they were in the beautiful garden, had all been picked. And she thought to herself, when she saw that the forest flowers had been picked, she said, "Who has stolen the attractive flowers and buds in this forest today? I think it cannot be the work of anyone except the stealer of the gopis' clothes. O Vishakha, if he attacks you, are you capable of defending yourself? Lalita, if he attacks you with all the gopis, will you be able to stop him?" So in this way she went into a deep mood about the flowers that had been stolen, and she was thinking with great love to find the flower thief. Meanwhile, as she was thinking like this, suddenly Malati came. Now Malati is one of Vrindadevi's associate gopis. So Malati came. And she came to see Srimati Radharani, and she said, "O Radhe, the kingdom of Vrindavan worships the radiance of your form with its desire creepers. I will tell you what I just saw with my own eyes. As soon as I heard from Nandimukhi about the upcoming festival, I started to make a bed of flowers. But then, Padma, the friend of Chandravali, came here speaking very crooked words, so I hid to listen to what she was saying." She says, "Listen to these terribly proud words that are as hard as a thunderbolt." So then Malati begins to describe a conversation between Saibhya, another friend of Chandravali's, and Padma. Now Padma is like Lalita. She's very fiery and very bold in speaking. So Padma is picking so many flowers and putting them in her basket to take for the pleasure of Chandravali. And Saibhya says, "What if Shamasunda comes here and sees you picking these flowers in the forest?" And Padma says, "Oh Saibhya, Shamasunda is already meeting with Chandravali. So he will not come here. Don't worry, I made an arrangement for the meeting of Krishna and Chandravali. Therefore there is no possibility that he will come and disturb us here." So then Saibhya says, "But why do we pick so few flowers in order to make Chandravali the queen of Vrindavan?" Padma says, "Saibhya, after we take Krishna's permission and perform the Abhishek to install Chandravali, then you can plunder the flower gardens of Radha and her friends." Saibhya says, "Oh Padma, if we steal the flowers from the gardens of Radha, bad-tempered Lalita will object." Padma says, "Oh weak woman, fie on you. Why are you afraid of the objections of Lalita? Just pick the flowers. When those gopis are separated from Krishna, Saraswati herself will be stunned and they will not be able to say even one word." Now Malati is telling this to Srimati Radharani. So then she says what she did. She said, "I heard this conversation and I came out of hiding and I walked up to Padma, and while showing my loyalty to you, I looked at Padma and made a counterattack. I said, 'You foolish girl, do not try and take the flowers from Radha's forest. You will get into so much trouble if Lalita and the others hear of this. Who amongst any of the gopis, even full of pride, who would dare to take even one spot of pollen from a flower that is desired even slightly by Radha? Is there any woman who can control Vrindavan other than she?'" And then she says, "O followers of Chandravali, the coronation of the daughter of Vrishabhanu as the queen of Vrindavan has almost arrived. And when Radha arrives at the edge of the mountain and mounts the Abhishek platform, the composure of all thieves and opponents will be lost. Now, considering my decisive words, Padma, laughing to herself and extremely angry, said, "Just see. Though Chandravali has the most soothing mood and character, this Malati cannot see that Vrindavan is illuminated by the sun of Her Majesty. O friends in Vrindavan, have you not heard the news of the blissful Abhishek of Govinda? Do you not know that Chandravali will be the queen sitting next to him on the throne?" So Padma speaks very boldly. Then Padma, having studied the chapter of Matsyanaya, or the strong eating the weak, proceeded to pluck flowers in a very angry mood with hundreds of her strong attendants, and by myself I could do nothing. Therefore I came immediately to you. I had heard rumors of this Abhishek of Chandravali, and I didn't believe them. But now her direct words have made me believe it. And what do you think Srimati Radharani will respond to this? As the sky became red and the fading of lotus blossoms in the twilight foretold the coming of night, the arrival of this news caused the lotus of Radha's eyes to become very red and then fade, indicating the arrival of her night-like jealous anger. So Srimati Radharani became so upset that she turned immediately, hearing this, and she began to go home. So then, Radha dropped her lotus and returned home. And Lalita, listening to all this news, she said, because Lalita, of course, is so strong and so proud on behalf of Srimati Radharani, she said, "Let Chandravali become the queen of Krishna's forests. Maybe it has been done, or maybe it will be done. But I promise here in Vrindavan, I promise that we will make Radha the queen." Then Lalita turned and all the gopis accompanied Srimati Radharani back to her house. So when Radha arrived home, burning the hearts of all the moving and non-moving living entities of Vrindavan forest with her anger and depriving them of the jewel of their vision, Radha moved towards Vraj. The groves rained honey as tears upon seeing the great anger of the gopis. The tender leaves shaking in the breeze wiped the tears from the eyes of the animals. They took no joy in the previous joking exchanges. Though filled with longings, they did not ask any questions. Under the sway of anger, they entered the house. Deprived of their friend Sham, the faces of the Sakis were colorless, and they remained silent for a long time. They were like tree lotuses deprived of the humming bees at the setting of the sun. Then Srimati Radharani, her head bent down, absorbed in thoughts and her beautiful eyes rolling, Radha suddenly got up and entered the interior of the house on the pretext of sleep. The whole universe lamented, offering its soul to the darkness. Then Radha's dear Sakis sat on the earth near the front door. Bound by love for Radha, they passed the night, periodically standing up and gazing upon Radha without being seen. Their anxiety increased at every moment. Srila Jiva Goswami concludes this is, we've just read two chapters, he concludes the second chapter with this benediction. May the sun of Radha's anger, a pastime in the affairs of love, which reveals rare desirable objects from far off and spreads its influence constantly against all contrary objects, protect you. May the sun of Radha's anger protect you. And he says for himself, I eternally serve beautiful Krishna, who has brought this low person to his lotus feet in order to mingle with the soft-hearted devotees and kept me engaged in his service. I eternally serve the worshipable Sri Rupa Goswami, who always worships Krishna. So this is the chapter 1 and 2 of the Madhava Mahotsava.